Hari Om Sahana Vavatu Sahana Bhunaktu Sahaviryam Karavavahai Tejasvinavahitamastu Mavidvishavahai Shanti, Shanti. Om Jaya Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Srivasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare 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 Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare
Okay, then. Okay, in Krishna consciousness, one comes directly into communion with Krishna, and thus all directions from Krishna may be understood in that transcendental state. One is sure to achieve results by such activities and attain conclusive knowledge. One only has to carry out the orders of Krishna or his representative, the spiritual master. Right? That was the whole point previously, was the aspect of that Krishna can be known only through instructions coming from itself or from the representative. Right? So we see it's coming back to that same point. Right? So it means as we go through, we see that the hearing means practicing Krishna consciousness and the association of devotees. Right, so that means hearing from them, discussing with them, practicing with them. That's actually the essential point of Krishna consciousness. Right? Because Krishna, his whole idea is to interact with the devotees. So that's already going on. So if we want to take part, then we have to associate with those devotees. So association of devotees, therefore, is the most important element. Because if we're not associating devotees, how will we associate with Krishna? Because Krishna's not just going to hang out with us and leave everybody else, right? So, I mean, he does as Paramatma, but at the same time as, you know... Does that make sense?
Mm.
You know? So it still comes back to that point, that association, that's the most important. Srila Prabhupada writes in his purport to Srimad Bhagavatam 4.4.20, footnote 62... Lord Shiva is in the transcendental position because, as stated before, he is always absorbed in thought of Lord Vasudeva within himself. Therefore, neither the activities of the grihastha nor those of the sannyasi in the renounced order can be applicable to him. He is in the Paramahamsa stage, the highest perfectional stage of life. The transcendental position of Lord Shiva is also explained in Bhagavad Gita 2.5.2.5.3. Right, so that's... these verses here. It is stated there that when one fully engages in the transcendental service of the Lord by performing activities without fruit of results, one is elevated to the transcendental position. At that time, he has no obligation to follow the Vedic injunctions or the different rules and regulations of the Vedas. He has no obligation. It means you want something from it, you're obligated.
Mm.
You don't want something from it, you're not obligated. So the reason the devotee follows anything is because it pleases Krishna. Does that make sense? So we shouldn't take the understanding here, oh, therefore you don't have to follow any rules, and therefore we're devotees, so we don't have to follow any rules. It is mentioning here Lord Shiva. Right? Like that. So the point is that there's no obligation to do something because you have no benefit to get from it. Right? Does that make sense? You want a house, so you're obligated to pay taxes on house. You want land, you're obligated to pay taxes on the land. You know, you want a car, you're obligated to put petrol and oil and change the tires. Right? You know, you want children, you have to feed them. You know? Does that make sense? There's obligations because you have something you want to gain. Right? But if you have nothing you want to gain, there are no obligations. So therefore, if you engage in anything, it's not for your own benefit. So the Paramahamsa means he's beyond, doesn't mean he does nothing. We will think nothing because we, the mode of ignorance, then the mode of ignorance means, you know, the ideal is to do nothing. Yeah. Right? Does that make sense? I mean, it's confirmed.
Let's use an example that if you're working for a company or the government, you yourself don't have the expenses with transport.
Yeah, you could say.
You have no
obligation. You have no obligation, but at the same time as you're doing things because you're working for. So we're working for Krishna, but we have no material obligations. Because here when it mentions that the Vedic, no obligation to follow the Vedic injunctions, the different rules and regulations of the Vedas, because we're looking, this means the aspect of the aparavidya, right? We don't have to follow those rules because we have something to gain from that, right? We want the brahminical social status, means we are obligated to follow the rules of the Brahman. You know what I'm saying? So just like we see the Sukadeva Goswami is not following those rules. He has no obligation, so he's not following them. But at the same time, because of that, no one relates to him in that way either. You know what I'm saying? It's not that, oh, I'm above, I don't follow any rules, but everyone has to respect me and do this and that. No, they don't respect him. They come and laugh and joke, and he has nothing to say because he's not doing anything to get respect. So therefore, if they don't respect him, it doesn't matter. Does that make sense? So that's also then the next step where we see that our, how you say? You know, our mode of ignorance perspective on this particular point comes to a screeching halt. Is that, yes, you know, we're Paramhamsa, so we don't have to follow anything, but that means no one has to follow anything in relationship to you. They can deal with you however they like. You know, then it's like, hey, wait a minute. No, because I'm advanced, they have to respect, they have to do this, they have to do that. No obligation means no obligation because there is nothing to gain from it, so there's no need to follow it. Mm. So if you're not working within the system, no one has to deal with you like that. Mm. You know what I'm saying? You know, the guy, they're playing their game in the stadium there, and somebody jumps over the side and goes running through the field. No one's under any obligation to deal with him as a member of the field. You understand? Because he's not taking any responsibility on that field. You understand? So it goes both ways. Of course, you know, the one-way street is always our perfection in, you know, social, you know, it's a very, you know, liberal and broad-minded in consideration of ourselves, very strict and, you know, conservative towards others, you know, like that. When one is above the direction of the Vedic ritualistic injunctions for obtaining different allurements and is fully absorbed in transcendental thought, which means thought of the Supreme Personality of Godhead and devotional service, one is in the position called buddhi yoga or samadhi, ecstasy. Interesting. Buddhi yoga or samadhi, ecstasy. Right? So that means basically one's liberated. So then here also then we're applying buddhi yoga to the platform of bhava, you know, until one comes to that full absorption where it becomes prema. For a person who has attained this stage, neither the Vedic activities for realizing material enjoyment nor those for renunciation are applicable, because they don't have to enjoy. If you want to enjoy, you have to follow the rules of enjoyment. If you want liberation, you have to follow the rules of that. But they're already liberated because of Krishna consciousness, so they don't have to follow any of those rules for that purpose. Now, to set example, they may follow for preaching and that, and they may act as a madhyama and do like that. But for themselves, they don't have to, right? So if they don't follow anything, then it doesn't matter. But then that means they're not taking part in anything of the social situation. So, basically speaking, you'll think they're crazy. Right? So if you don't mind everybody thinks you're crazy, you know, then hey. But if that bothers you, then you're obliged to follow the rules. Right? Okay, after hearing about the glories of the Stita Pragya, one who has realized Atma, Arjuna wants to know what the symptoms of such person are. Lesson 2. The symptoms of such a spiritually situated devotee are significantly manifested by the following signs, right? Because you want to be clear about it, what it is in theory, and then how to actually appreciate it, right? Because that's Arjuna's point. It's, okay, now this is spiritual. What is someone situated like that? What do they look like? What do they do? Okay. So now 56 through 72. Big blocks in this section, right? 256. One who is not disturbed in mind even amidst the threefold miseries, or elated when there is happiness, and who is freed from attachment, fear, and anger, is called a sage of steady mind. Right? So we say, we're not saying who not disturbed amidst the threefold miseries. We're not saying elated, and elated where there is happiness. Because generally we'll say, we're not bothered by the material miseries. So we might get to become quite stoic about that. You know? But then when things are when it's happy, then he becomes elated. So it still means it's not balanced yet. Because we generally look at the one side. Why is the material world so miserable? Yeah. You know, we don't look at it, hey, this hotel is great. You know, we don't, does that make sense? Or, right? You know, that's the... Okay, and then fear, anger... And attachment. So attachment's what is your element, I'm the enjoyer. Fear is that I'm the controller. And then anger is when neither of them work. Right? You understand? I'm the enjoyer. That's your karma. I'm the controller. That's your gyan. And when neither of them work, then you take up anger, which is your Buddhism. Yeah. Right? So that's why the Mayavad fits so well everywhere. Because actually it's just Buddhism. It's anger. Mm. They present themselves as it's fear, but actually it's anger.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, they lean more on the fear, but it's actually due to anger. But
they present it as they get rid of fear.
Yeah.
But they neglect that.
Yeah, but you get rid of fear, by being angry.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. Okay, the Sthitadhir Muni is always in Krishna consciousness. The word Muni means one who can agitate his mind in various ways for mental speculation without coming to a factual conclusion. Such a nice explanation. No, everything, yes, he has his own philosophy. You know, something glorious, something noble. Yes, the word Muni means one who can agitate his mind in various ways for mental speculation without coming to a factual conclusion. Yeah, it is said that every Muni has a different angle of vision. Otherwise, how does everybody, so it's like every chef has his own uniqueness, or every architect has his uniqueness, or every musician or painter, like that. So he has his own uniqueness. And unless a Muni differs from other Munis, he cannot be called a Muni in the strict sense of the term. So in other words, if your music sounds like someone else, then you're not really a musician, right? You're just a copy artist, right? Nasabri shir yasya matam nabhinam. Mahabharata Vanaparva 3:3. Shouldn't say the numbers. Oh, okay. So then we say the numbers out. Okay. No, they follow authority, but they have to have their own kind of spin on it. Because you're speculating. That's the whole point. So you have to be able to look at it from some different angle, come up with something new. Otherwise, you're not a Muni. You may be a scholar, but you're not a Muni.
Huh?
No, but he is different. If his different, how you say, perspective is that it's based on Krishna. So that means the Muni aspect is supposed to be engaged in Krishna's service. Huh? Ah, okay. So maybe that's why he used the word Sthitadhir Muni instead of just Muni or Sthiti. Does that make sense? So in other words, just like the jnani is using his intelligence, so he's using mental speculation, but he's not using it for Krishna. Right? Or the karmi is performing activities that get a result, but he's not doing it for Krishna. So therefore you get the negative element. Is that what you're saying? Because always remember in these is that he's the unique example, someone who's using it. You know, like this morning we had our, how do you say, Beijing friend. That he says, no, but Krishna doesn't follow the rules, he doesn't this and that. And he says, you know, give an example. You know, the Rasa dance, and? You know what I'm saying? So it's always that. So he said that. It means we all day, Sukadev Goswami, this and that. But the idea is that he has a particular perspective that he uses, because others aren't generally called Muni. Because his is the Pancharatra. Like that. Means devotional service in the Pancharatric system. So Naishkarmya and Pancharatra. That's specifically his angle, how he preaches. There's always that you're following the rules of the Pancharatric system and you're engaging your senses without attachment to the result. So he focuses on these two points. So that's what he especially adds to the system, because the Pancharatric system is attributed to Narad Muni. It was originally given by Krishna to Lord Brahma, but in time they're lost, so it's Narad Muni who again reintroduces them into the human society. Like that. I mean, you know, Brahma hasn't forgotten, but, you know, we have. So when we say Narada Pancharatra, it both means the singular, you know, Pancharatric text called Narada Pancharatra, and also means all the whole Pancharatric text, because it has been received again from the Narada Muni. Does that make sense? So that puts him in the thing where he has the different angle of vision. But that angle is within Krishna consciousness. He just emphasizes that aspect.
So that's why Vyasadeva is called Mahamuni?
So yes, like that, because he's the being asked. So Muni means someone who's, you know, his mind is always absorbed in contemplation, right? And it's not just contemplating something that someone else has given specifically, but it has some new presentation. But the present, you know, so for the devotees, it's bona fide presentation. And for those who are not devotees, then it's just something unique within the, you know, realm of mental speculation. You know, like, so Gotama would be a Muni, because it's different, right? Vaisheshika, you know, Kapila, Patanjali, your Jaimini, like that, Shankar, these would be, because they're different perspectives. You know, in your Western, you also have your people, when they talk philosophy or talk any of these things, they always bring up a few names. So these would be the Munis, you know, like that.
I refer to Plato and Socrates as Munis.
Yeah, yeah, because it is different from the others, right? You know, that, you know, one was true in his Muniism and got killed, and the other one was, you know, basically Muni, but, you know, a little more politically correct, you know, like that. That's the only reason he survived. Right? But does he call Aristotle a Muni? No, because Aristotle is the one that got completely accepted by the ordinary thought. You know, even so ordinary that I think it was, what was his name? Also with an A, I think. He combined the Catholic doctrine.
Aquinas.
Thomas Aquinas. He combined them to try to bring everything together, but it was too little, too late, and it still didn't work. You know, Luther still won. Is that okay? Okay, so we'll continue. Okay, so 3:1, 3:13, 1:17. So that would mean Vanaparva, be the big parva, means it's in the 18. The 3:1:3 will be within the smaller parvas, and then the 1:17 would be that would be the chapter, and this would be the verse. But Astita Dhir Muni, as mentioned herein by the Lord, is different from an ordinary Muni. The Astita Dhir Muni is always in Krishna consciousness. For he has exhausted all his business for creative speculation. Because right? Creative, you're just looking at it different ways, just for that's the fun. Right? Rather than you're starting with authority and then trying to see how that authority applies. You know, in other words, it's the taste of coming up with these different. Does that make sense? That's why you see when you're dealing with academics that if you come up with something very intelligent, especially if it's a new angle, they appreciate it like anything. But as soon as you come to a conclusion, oh, that's it, they get offended. Because then thinking stops. The point is if you conclude, then you can't speculate. Then you can only contemplate what is actually the fact and try to apply it into your situation. So you lose the taste altogether. So that's why within the Vedic and the modern academy, that the speculative method can't have conclusion. So the more uniquely way you can come up with those speculations, the greater you're held in esteem, because then it gives others, then they can, you know, they're not the Muni, but they can follow the same patterns and get their intellectual enjoyment out of it. Does that make sense? So he's exhausted all his business of creative speculation. He is called Prasanta Nishesha Mano Ratantara, Stotra Ratna 43. Or one who has surpassed the stage of mental speculations and has come to the conclusion that Lord Sri Krishna, or Vasudeva, is everything. Vasudeva sarvam iti samahatma sudurlabha. He is called a muni fixed in mind. Right? So that's stita dir muni. It means there's munis, and then there's a muni who's fixed in mind. Does that make sense? So Narad Muni will be a muni who's fixed in mind, or Vyasadeva muni who's fixed. So they're actually transcendental. These other ones are either presenting themselves as such or couldn't care less about being transcendental, just having a good time.
How could we deal with someone who is like, has a jnani tendency very strong when we're in a discussion?
Well, it depends upon if his jnana is simply the taste of the jnana or it's the path of yoga that he will best fit into. You know, there'll be a difference. So it's just like here. The difference here is that is he a stita deer or not? It means it is a yan, so they like to contemplate the intellectual aspects. So therefore, all these technical points like given in Gita, these last chapters of how the modes are working and divine, they can contemplate that. So they would situate themselves within jnana yoga. So it's the contemplation of the mechanics, metaphysical mechanics, that will separate for them the material and spiritual. So it's a very, you know, approved path. But if it's just they like to think about this and that and so many things and just come up with different ways, that won't be very useful. But the problem is because they're good at it and others aren't, they'll consider themselves superior and more intelligent, but they're just basically a disturbance. That's why I said, Shruti Smriti Puranadi. If you don't follow that, you're just a disturbance.
So in such case, it's just better to leave it.
If it's just a matter of their intellectual and that means something to them, then through that path, you show them how, by contemplation, they can realize the Lord. Right? Does that make sense? Okay. Yeah. But if it's not, then you just be pleasant and there's always something else to do. You know, that's why wristwatch. I mean, of course, now it's just, like that. But otherwise, before you'd have to pull it out and push the thing. So you can get a little bit more. Best with that is you have a monocle. So that when you go, you drop the monocle. Then they really know, something's going on. You know, so, like that. But otherwise, in wristwatches, do that good. Or if you don't have one, you can always ask them what time it is on their watch. And then you can, like that. So, okay, so. 257, yes. It's always something to do with the numbers, right? You're going to say the number is that way. Okay, go ahead.
Because there is a point about conclusion and mental speculation.
Mm-hmm.
So, in order to accept that Krishna is Vasudeva everything, as mentioned here?
Yes.
And we said that there are different levels of conclusion.
You could. I mean, he's everything. So if you're looking at him as Brahman, as Paramatma, or as Bhagavan,
yes.
You know. So the point is conclusion means it actually connects to Krishna. If it doesn't connect, it's not a conclusion. Does that make sense? Yeah. So the thing is the reason if you conclude something, then you can't discuss it anymore.
Yes.
Because then, after a conclusion, what's the next step?
Yes.
What is the mind? What's the next step of the mind after a conclusion?
Application.
Right? After prayojana comes, abhideya. Right? Once it's touched on that, then it has to act. That's what they don't want to do. They're mental speculators. You're armchair speculators. Armchair speculators. So you don't want to do something. You know, unless somebody's to push a button on the armchair that makes it, you know, gives you a massage or something, you know, like that. Then that might be okay. Like that. Or the remote for the television or something, you know, like that. Oh, now they have these universal remotes, right? You can turn on anything and off anything. You know, like that. So you can increase the armchair speculator. Rasa can really expand. Confirm again. Okay. Is that okay? Yeah. See, there's not a problem in someone's intellectual, and he looks at it from different angles. But the difference is he's not agitating his mind to try to get something. Like, the senses are there, you agitate the senses. The senses just peaceful, you agitate it. Right? And then it... You know what I'm saying? You weren't thinking about eating and someone comes along, hey, you know, like this. You know? And so then, you know, it's always like, you know, someone asks you, you know, are you hungry? No, not like that. And then when they get out whatever it is they have, then it's kind of like, you know, the senses get agitated, right? You know, so that's the thing. They agitate the mind to just get the taste of intellectualizing, right? But if the mind's intellectualizing for the purpose of understanding Krishna, then that's not called mental speculation. That's just called contemplation. Right? Because you're starting with authority, then you contemplate how does it apply in my life, meaning how I'm going to practically use it. But if you even if you're starting with authority, like the Vedic Munis, they'll start with authority, but they'll just contemplate it, but they don't want a conclusion, otherwise it's something to do. Okay. Is that what it is? Yes.
Sometimes it's bewildering for me because the teachings of Srila Prabhupada, very straightforward.
Right.
And then the senior devotees, they kind of expand this.
Yes.
And then I've heard from two senior devotees, Srila Prabhupada disciples, their opinion on the same subject.
Mm-hmm.
And one said, it's
I think he lost the leash.
like a step, another step away from Srila Prabhupada. And another person said on the same thing, this is going to bring us closer to Srila Prabhupada. And it's
Well, it means you look at. That's why it means you're thoughtful. So you think about it and look at it. Will it actually? You know, what is the point there? So it's not a matter of bringing closer to Prabhupada or farther away from Prabhupada. It's a matter of, like it says, associating with Prabhupada through his instructions, and then trying to apply them in our life. So in other words, that instruction by those who are applying it and trying to advance in Krishna consciousness. Oh, I see. It was that they're supposed to go this way instead of this way. Okay. So it wasn't he got out of his cave. Does that make sense? So in other words, that means you contemplate the element is, you know, what's the point? Why would it bring one closer? Why would it bring your father away? It's a matter of you're close because you take the instruction and follow it. You know, you apply it in your life. So are they, you know, is there a correctness in that? You know, I mean, what's the point being made? Why would it bring you closer? Why would it take you farther away?
we can say if it's correct or not, because one says it's true.
No, but that's a general thing. You mean about what Prabhupada says?
No, it's
because that's very clear. If someone says what Prabhupada says here won't work, or it's a speculation, or it doesn't apply now, then you can just take that and throw it out. But if it's a matter of, okay, Prabhupada's saying this, to apply it, we would apply it like this, and someone says, no, we'd apply it like that, then it's a matter of seeing what's the active principle. Why? What's the context that they would be saying it? Because there may be some truth in this situation, you'd use it like this, and someone else is using a different situation. So you have to see what's the principle that's there. Because the principle would be common, though the detail of application, because much of the time that's the case. Someone's applying it, you know, to something that happened in their family, and someone else is applying it to something that they saw on the street. And so it's the same principle, but two different forms, that they may not be seeing the difference there. Or it may be they understand it, but they're only giving you the example in that line. So you just have to see what of that is working, and so how to deal with that. Does that make sense? So it's not that you have to take it as it is, right? You take, or you do have to take it as it is, but what is the actual as it is what you have to discern.
So it comes back to drawing the principle, right?
Drawing the principle, yes. So that's the whole idea of analyzing, is that the analyzation is so that we know how to apply it. Because you have the basic point, you just apply it. But then, in analyzing it, then you can see what is of substance and what's not. Right? Because you do have the element that the mind, the senses, you know, the fruit of the sometimes are tricky. So you just have to see within that there may be something. It's true on one level, but there's something else that we're missing. So that's the idea of the analyzation, is that we can start to break down what it is that we're working with, so we can see that all aspects are consistent. Right? You know, like the example I gave, the authority is saying, just surrender to Krishna. Krishna is Sarvadharma, just give up everything and do so. You don't worry about your conditioned nature, this and that. But the reason he's saying it is due to his own conditioned nature, that he's a manager and you're not doing what he said, so that he has to adjust. So it's not that it's necessarily, the point is for Krishna. It's that he's a manager and you're not falling into being able to be managed. So that doesn't work well with his conditioning. So there in that, he's correct on the one, but he's incorrect that he hasn't considered his own conditioning. So because of that, it's just one conditioning against another. It's that he's getting his conditioning, so he's comfortable. But the person whose conditioning wasn't addressed is not comfortable. And so they're not satisfied. Now if he says, they're just, not satisfied, or what are these terms I'd use? I can't remember. But he's not sincere, and he's not, he's not certain, like that. No. He wants to engage his conditioning just as much as the authority wants to engage theirs. Right? But one has the facility, but the other doesn't. So it's not actually a balanced. You know what I'm saying? But the principle that's being given there is true. Right? So the one, by speaking, it makes spiritual development. The other one, by trying to apply it, it makes spiritual development. So spiritually a development, socially it falls apart. Right? You know, it means there generally is not a concern that we're lacking in philosophy. Right? Even generally the materialist will say, if you got philosophical questions, you come to the Hare Krishnas. We got answers. But generally, not very many people, either inside or outside, will say we have culture. You know what I'm saying? So that's the weakness, is that we're not addressing that aspect. You know what I'm saying? So what I'm saying is there's a truth there. And of the true, it's spiritually correct. That's better than, let's say, someone who's is a Hindu, so it may be culturally correct, but not spiritually. You know, the person wants to join, no, but what about the family? You have duties to the family, you're the oldest son, this, that, blah. Materially, it's correct. Socially, it's correct. And it's according to Shastra. But they've missed the spiritual conclusion of service to Krishna. Does that make sense?
Not to the previous point, but I have an example. Like one senior devotee says about vegans, complete nonsense and all that stuff. You know, milk and it's important. Shiva Prabhupada said we should drink it and milk products. Another devotee would say, and it happened, that they say that we don't want to do anything with the unprotected cows.
What about the unprotected women? What about the unprotected earth? You know what I'm saying?
As much as you can do.
No, but it means all these others, so why only the cow? Because human means all of the aspects.
Because it's what their point was, that we don't take it for sense gratification. It's kind of...
No, I'm saying on... It's a sense gratification. Why would it be sense gratification we've offered it to Krishna? Why is engaging the senses in the Lord's service sense gratification? So that's a misunderstanding of philosophy. It's actually impersonalism. You know what I'm saying? It's a nice sentiment, right? It's a nice sentiment, but the point what's being missed is that we don't have the influence to change it. It's not by me not drinking milk that the whole system changes. Because it's like this. You drink the milk, they milk the cows. You know, you don't drink the milk, they eat the cows. You know what I'm saying? It's not that you're dynamically going to change the system. You understand? Now, if you want to change the system, start a goshala. Raise cows that are properly dealt with. Mm-hmm. How many vegans do that? Right? Knock me out. That's the whole point. It's simply a social perspective that gives them some meaning, because if someone's a vegan as a devotee, means that's what we're talking about, right? Is they're vegan as a devotee, it's an issue that gives them something special to do in their life. So chanting their japa or worshipping the deity or book distribution or preaching is not very prominent for them. So to give them something that they feel is connected to Krishna consciousness, you take up the vegan issue. You know, like you could take up the kids issue or the women's issue or, you know, some issue. Or, you know, not the new issues, you know, the death issue. You know. You understand? It's some issue that now you connect that to Krishna, and then you feel you're doing some devotional service. But the point is what the devotional service is, you've taken the milk of the cow, offered it to Krishna. So it's not just about us. The cow gets spiritual benefits. So the point is that cow is going to be killed and eaten anyway. But now if you take its milk offered to Krishna, it gets spiritual benefit. That means next life, it's a human being. Otherwise, it's just going to be a human being. I mean, it'll be the human being who's eating the cow. Right? And then the life after that, it'll be the cow that's eaten by the human. It'll just go back and forth. But you do that, you break the cycle. So that's spiritual. Now, if you want to do further about it, open a goshala. Otherwise, to just sit there and not take part in one, but not do something, you know. So it's not necessarily you're doing something for the cows. You know what I'm saying? Because the point is it would be another thing if cows are just wandering around wild, and because people are drinking milk, so they go out and catch those cows and that, and if nobody drinks the milk, they just put them back out in the forest. Right? You know what I'm saying? It's just like, let's say you have some kind of ore in the ground. Because people are using it, therefore they dig it out of the ground. No one wants it, they don't dig it out of the ground. They let it sit there. No, they're going to eat the cows anyway. You know what I'm saying? It's their culture to eat the cows. It's not that it's something that just a resource that just sits there and wanders around. And then because people want milk, you go out and catch them and milk them. You know, it's not like the buffaloes. I forget in which place, you know, where they make the mozzarella. The original mozzarella was made from these kind of semi-wild buffaloes that they'd hang out in this area, and so they go out there and milk those buffaloes and make them. But they're not their buffaloes, they just are out there. You know what I'm saying? Does that make sense? So it doesn't sound very good, and it doesn't address the bile issue. You know what I'm saying? But the point is it's just funny how going back on all the different things, the origin of that particular point goes back to Na'an. Yeah, means we were there and they were taking us on the tour. They came to the Goshala and they have the milking machines. And then they, you know, are going on about that because they have their own cows, their own milk and everything like that. And they say, you know, and so a thing goes through here and it has to happen, and I forget what it was. They had to be able to milk the cow in a certain amount of time, like 1 minute, 30 seconds or so. Somebody asked, well, what happens if it takes longer? And then the guy who was doing the tour, he says, well, everybody likes their steak, don't they? Right? So that's the point. Is that, you know, you drink the milk, they milk the cow. You don't drink the milk, they eat the cow. Right? So it's just a matter of they eat it today or they eat it tomorrow. That's all. So the point is as a devotee, it means if you're not a devotee, then it's a nice thing in that you're considering other living entities. You're trying to elevate yourself. You're restricting your lifestyle, you know, based on some, how you say, some element of pranamoy that's more elevated than sense gratification. Because their point is to you is, no, you're just on the level of sense gratification. No, we're taking prasad. Maybe when you take, you're engaged in sense gratification because you don't see the connection to Krishna, because you don't see the offering of milk to Krishna is a spiritual activity. But he'll say, no, but Krishna won't accept such thing. Why would he accept anything else? You know, in Holland, the vegetables, they put them out there, and when they're almost ready, they spray a gas. And the plants get scared. So then they grow quicker to come to seed. Because actually a cauliflower, if it grows more, it turns into seeds. You know, all the vegetables turn into seeds. So it gets ripe quicker. So why would Krishna eat that? You know, or why would Krishna accept, you know, the service of, you know, the husband? He doesn't deal with his wife very nicely. Or his kids don't, you know, the kids there in Kirtan, but Krishna won't accept it because he doesn't respect his parents. Or, you know what I'm saying? We're in the material world. We're talking as if there's such a thing as a utopia. There isn't. Is that make sense? Yeah. And the funny thing, there's no cows in Shangri-La, are there?
Would the same logic apply to wearing leather shoes?
Yeah. But the point is it's not that you need to wear leather shoes. You could wear something else. But if it was useful, you'd use them.
You have no need to milk people.
Of course you do. It develops the finer brain tissues, and because you're not drinking it, that's why you don't understand it. Cows are important. See, they're taking the cow's important just on its own. The cow's important because it gives milk. So the milk is what's very important, because that is what's used in Brahminical culture. You know what I'm saying? There isn't an alternative to the milk. But there is an alternative to shoes. You know what I'm saying? But if you were in a situation where you had to wear, let's say you're working on a construction site, you know, like that, and you have to have the steel toes and all these things, and there's all kinds of, you know, sharp and nasty things, then leather would be the thing you would be required to wear. So you would be required, so you can't use something else. You know, but, you know, for just walking around on the street, they can use anything, you know. Does that make sense? But milk is required for this. Means it's offered to Krishna. The point is it's offered to Krishna. They've come across the thing that, well, no, Krishna won't accept it. But that's the same line as, oh, you know, you've done this, Krishna won't accept it. Krishna says, you know, in the previous verse, there's still sadhus. Does that make sense? So this is not a moralistic point of view, because otherwise, if we're talking dharma, what's the rule on that? Mm-hmm. They're not. They're talking pranamoy, pure. You know what I'm saying? It's a nice idea, just like any of the New Age stuff is nice. Prabhupada said, if you're not a devotee that is New Age, you're a step above someone who doesn't think at all. But for a devotee to step back to New Age, that's a step down. You know what I'm saying? Because all these ones, you know, jumping up and down about the vegan and all that, they're all in cities. They're so concerned. Why don't they move out to the farm? They need help on the farm to take care of the cows. They're not moving out there. If all the vegans were on the farms, then they might have a stand. But they're all city slickers, you know. And probably if you check, they, you know, half their bodies got tattoos all over it also. What about that? God doesn't like tattoos. So then, now what? You know what I'm saying? Well, you know, the earlobe, that's the place to pierce, you know, like that. Women will do the nose, you know.
They make the point in the scriptures, you just hear about the yogis in the forest eating fruits and roots. They don't need milk.
So, go out to the forest and live on fruits and roots. Quit being such a hypocrite.
Often it does mention milk, though.
But they all have cows out there. They all have milk. Otherwise, how are they doing yogis?
They also go and beg.
They also just glean from the field. They just take, or they what people think. So the point is then live that lifestyle. Don't just take part of it. You know, that's the point. They only take the part they want. So, therefore, every vegan, according to this rule, should move out to the forest. So since you're out in the forest, take care of the cows.
Shouldn't the principle be taking what's offered to you through Madhukari?
Yeah, that's also there. I mean, there's so many rules of vanaprastha. So if you want to get into a discussion of that, that's another thing. But don't just take what you want.
Prashat, is the Bhagavat or it's connected like it's Vedic or Bhagavat, right?
Which? Is Vedic Bhagavat or Vedic? Is vegan Bhagavat or Vedic? Is that what your question?
No, I mean Prasadam.
Prasadam.
Yeah.
It's Bhagavat. So it's above the rules.
Munis, they eat leaves, some of them, or I don't know if...
Munis ate leaves.
Yes, like Narada. He would just...
Narad Muni eats leaves.
He would just go living in the forest, live on juicy leaves and things like that, a little bit of water.
But do you know what leaf means? Spinach is a leaf.
Yes, or a leaf of a tree, it could be, yes.
Could be, but the point is... What is the point? What are you trying to get to? What are you actually trying to say? Because do you actually understand, or you've just heard from one place that they ate leaves?
No, it's that maybe...
Because, I mean, I've only heard when they're doing an austerity that Dhruva Maharaj ate the leaves... No, not the leaves. He ate the berries off of a banyan tree. And that was only, I think, in the second month. And after that, then he stopped eating. And then he also then stopped breathing. Yeah. So are we going along that line?
No.
You know what I'm saying?
Maybe
by saying, do you know something about the livestock? Because Manu doesn't mention anything about leaves.
No.
He then not one time does he say leaves. So it's not part of the vrata. It's not part of vanaprastha. So what I'm saying is devotees catch one thing from one place and then take it and extrapolate it into another place that it doesn't have any connection. So all it is we're picking and choosing from where we like. Because like what I said is that if we're so concerned about why only the cows, why not the whole environment, why are we living in the city? And they say, well, you know, Bhaktisiddhanta wants to preach, you know, so therefore he's in the city. Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati couldn't care less about vegan. It's the last thing on his list. When the devotees told him, oh, but then if we go and preach in that place, they only drink, you know, alcohol and eat meat. And then he looked at him and said, I thought like that 10,000 lifetimes ago. Says, if that is all there is to eat and that's nothing else and you want to preach, then you eat that and preach. But nowadays we don't have to think, oh, so we can eat meat. No, because there's plenty else to eat. Everywhere you go, there's something. Like now those places have potatoes and cabbages. You know, might have a lot of gas, but hey.
The occasional carrot.
You understand? So the point is these things are issues. They're social issues. They're not Krishna consciousness. Okay. That's the point that we're making. Because this is an analytical study, so that's what we're dealing with. This is not a social study. Social studies in the afternoon. Right? This is an analytical study that the inspiration for it may be based on an aspect of Krishna consciousness, but their drive to do it is purely social. It's a social element of ethics. Right? So it doesn't even come to the platform of dharma. Dharma, cows give milk. That's their dharma. They're giving milk anyway. So now if you take that milk and offer it to Krishna, they get benefit, because they're not going to offer it themselves. That's your business. Now, in taking that milk, you're supposed to deal nicely with them. You know what I'm saying? Does that make sense? So we have to be able to see a little bit wider. If we're only dealing on the material platform, then they have a strong point. But because we're dealing with the spiritual, then... Because otherwise, how do you develop the finer brain tissues? You know, Prabhupada used the milk, and the cows weren't in any better or worse condition in the 60s than they are now. Right? And probably, in fact, they probably killed them a little nicer now than they did back then. Right? Because there's so many movements about that. Right? There's a whole thing in Australia that they showed a movie of how the Australian cows were killed in Malaysia, and it caused a riot in the country. Like that. Now, they weren't worried that they got killed. They just didn't want them killed like that.
They don't want live export. What
they
should kill first.
Yeah, they should be killed on our own soil. Then we could go there and let the, you know, the local villagers deal with the unsophisticated deal. You know, like I remember one of our labors, when we were shifting campuses, then there was a bunch of trees. And then they said, you know, so what about the trees? We can move the trees. I said, they're too big, they may die. And he looked at me and said, let them die on our land.
Loyal labor.
Yeah. It says, why should another department get them? We grew, planted, and grew the trees, so we should... Yes. Does that make sense? So in other words, the issues have some validity on a social level, but ultimately they don't, because it's God's creation. So the point is the creation is supposed to be used for the Lord. So milk is used in service to the Lord, in sacrifice. Now, that they're not dealing with the cows properly, that's an issue to deal with. But the point is milk's supposed to be offered. You know what I'm saying? Otherwise, if we made a rule, no one can come to the temple and render service to the deity who doesn't have an idea. If there's not two parents in the family, we won't accept any service from any kids or from the single parent. You know, or if they're, you know, they were married, we won't accept, because then socially they're not going to be on that balanced level, so they're not going to have that wonderful, you know, floating through the, you know, the fields of, you know, marigolds with the butterflies and the rainbows and all that. And so Krishna won't accept their service because there'll be some distraction and distress. Yeah. Right? If we want to take the pure principle and apply it, then, you know, we'd have to go through and, you know, there'll be a few families here in Mayapur who can render service, and a couple of brahmacharis and like that. You know, but that's because we have, you know, so many thousands of devotees. Service, but if you go to some place, then, you know, you might have nobody could render any service.
But service is a daily thing. It's a living thing itself.
Cows give milk on a daily thing. It's what they do.
But the same thing we do. I mean, cows give milk. I mean.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. That's the point.
Humans do other things, but it's always this.
It's the principle is the same. If it's a matter of if there's any some distress in the person's life, and therefore we won't accept anything from them. Who would be there to... So if the cow is distressed in giving milk, and we won't accept their milk, we accept the milk because the cow gets better. We're not accepting the milk because we really like the dairy farmer. You know, Joe's a really great guy, you know. You understand? The point is cows. The point is milk. You know what I'm saying? What we're trying to do is get it where we can... differentiate these different elements, because what happens is there's an intellectual, but the mind catches one area and then mixes it up in there. So the emotion, the intelligence, no. Be able to analyze it first. If you can't analyze it, how do you know if the mind is choosing the right thing? But as soon as we mention it, the mind just jumps in. No, but this, then how do you know it's right? You know, because the point is if it was so important, then you don't think Prabhupada would have said don't drink the cow's milk because they don't deal with it nicely, only drink if it's on our farms. You couldn't have said that. You know what I'm saying?
Yes.
Yeah, so that's the whole point, is that how is it now they've got the spiritual angle and they're doing the right thing and everybody else isn't? No, it's just a matter of, you know, they were a goth or, something before. And, society and this and that, and stand in your box and yell and scream. And so now it's just what they can do inside the moon. It's just engaging their mundaneness. What, their altness, you could say. You know what I'm saying?
I've heard the argument from that these non-Vedic, Jersey cows, those things, frenzies, their milk is actually fourth class. It's worse than buffalo or goat's milk. It can actually have a detrimental effect. So
Who's proven that? You say that because what? It means it's just, but if you're going to go by that, then they're not even, who's saying that? Are they, born in a Brahmin, Kshatriya, Vaishya family practicing in India?
Like right-wing, like Hindu.
That's what I'm saying. They'll say that, but no devotees will use that one. Because if they do, then according to the same philosophy, they can't do devotional service, because you can't cross the ocean, you can't do all these different things. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? So the point is that's what Prabhupada said. If you're Manusamita on its own, not connected to the Lord, according to Manu, we're Malekshas and Yavanas, so we have nothing to do with Manu, so don't quote Manu. Does that make sense? Yeah. So that's the point, is that we'll pick and choose what we want from where and put it together, and it seems very nice. But this is what he's saying, agitating the mind for mental speculation. But the conclusion doesn't have a solid basis. They'll say that, but those right-wing guys aren't scientists anyway, so how do they know it has a detrimental effect? You know, it means that according to them, they're pigs. You know, they're not cows. You know, like that. But then, according to that, we're probably half pig also. By all the different medicines and drugs that are going on now anyway. So, therefore, if we're half pig and we're drinking pig's milk, it can't be all that bad.
They use pig's internal organs to transplant to humans.
Yeah.
That's the closest thing.
Yeah. That's the whole point. No, so I'm not sure if that would work if you had an actual human, right? So that, what does that mean? Right? Because remember, an animal farm, who became the bureaucrats? The pigs, right? So then, the bourgeois society is a bunch of pigs. So therefore it matches. So, you know what I'm saying? So don't worry about all that. But at least there, they're basing on some Shastric point. So at least it has a little more piety. Because they are drinking milk from, if the cow is, one of the Indian breeds, then they'll drink that. And they're not worried how it's taken care of. That's not the reason. They'll also support goshalas, but it's not necessarily the cow that they're drinking the milk from comes from one of those goshalas. You know what I'm saying? So this other is just blanket, you don't take any milk. Because I guarantee you, if you have one of those hardcore vegans, right, and I come up with a glass of milk from one of our cows and put it in front of them and say, drink it, there's a good chance he won't. Because their principle is we don't take dairy products, not that we don't take dairy products that are like that, because there is available that are. The guys around here, their cows are up here, So are they drinking this milk when they come to Mayapur, they drink milk? All right, it's right there. They're staying there in Bombay, and there's a cow around the corner. The guy keeps it outside his house. He drinks it. So what's wrong with that?
Well, they were saying it's eating garbage on the street.
So are you. You're breathing garbage. What does it do to your brain at, 30,000 feet, Think of all the, you're up there, but what about, you're closer to all the radiation, what it does to your brain, like that. So therefore, that's why you can't understand what's useful. But why is it garbage? He's taking care of it. You can't say that his cow that he's taking care of and milking is the one that's wandering around the street. You don't make a business out of one's wandering around on the street. That's somebody's cow, and they get a liter and a half out of it a day. But they drink it themselves, so you don't have to worry. But this guy that's getting you means he's feeding the cow.
Yeah.
And I'm saying, so will they take that? So that means that all the vegans, you know, when they visit India, should be drinking milk. Will they? No. Because it's an issue. It's a lifestyle. You know, it's an identity. It's not devotional. That's the bottom line. Like that, because they'll say not to take it, but you don't see any movement by the vegans to support cow protection in there, that they're putting their money and their effort and their intelligence how to make our goshalas work. Like that. One or two maybe. But they have the tendency, they take care of cows and stuff like that anyway, whether they were a vegan or not. But most of the ones that jump up and down, they're not about to. You know what I'm saying? And if the young take them a little more seriously than if they're old. Because the old ones can't digest it anyway, so therefore. But if they're young, then they could. So. Does that make sense? Yeah.
On the previous point, we were saying how we have philosophy but no culture. The Hindus have culture but no philosophy. So is it fair to say that we have a tendency to not apply the philosophy, whereas the Hindus have a tendency to misapply the philosophy?
No, because if you're not worrying about the philosophy, you're not misapplying. We will tend to speculate. They will tend to be sentimental or fanatic. That's the weakness.
So for them, it's tradition.
Yeah, tradition, they do it, so they don't know why. So when their children ask them why, they can't explain. Right. So if they have a good relationship, their children will to some degree follow. But if they don't have a relationship, then they won't follow at all. Yeah. Like that. Well, we tend to speculate, as his previous question.
It comes every... sort of.
Right, you know, it's like you have completely different answers. And it's not, the problem is not, it's not two different answers on the philosophy, it's two applications in the culture.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Philosophically, there's very rare any difference between the devotees. But in culture, where you apply it, that's where, so that's the speculation. Because if you have philosophy without religion, because the religion defines how you apply philosophy.
Mm-hmm.
Like that.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
And also be the inability to see like the Chinta Veda, that contradiction, that within one point there's contradiction.
Oh, okay, yeah. It means the same point can have so many different angles in it. Yeah. Does that make sense? Yeah. Okay. So it's not that there's not some valuable element in any of these various points. The point is whether that's actually the best position to take for serving in Prabhupada's mission. Mm-hmm. You know, in other words, we do something because it pleases Krishna, not because of any other consideration.
So, even in the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna is explaining the opinion of different sages.
Yes.
And he says, so that is my opinion.
Yeah, and then his opinion. So, what the sages are saying are all correct.
Yes.
But then there is what will please him as a person.
Because
the others are elevating. So that's the point, is that when we say here, we give up all those different things of penance and austerity and these different things. Those are, that they are for a material benefit or for some kind of elevation. You know, either materially or spiritually. So all that's given up by to follow just what's nice for Krishna. Does that make sense?
Is that we need to accept this conclusion?
Yes, we accept the conclusion, then we can contemplate it and try to apply it. It's when we don't accept the conclusion and we contemplate, then we're going to come up with all kinds of... Either we just have fun or we come up with something weird. Or both.
Both.
Get double profit, right? In the 257, in the material world, one who is unaffected by whatever good or evil he may obtain, neither praising it nor despising it, is firmly fixed in perfect knowledge. So the other is that he means that not disturbed in mind. So here is he's unaffected by. You know, the one is the concept of it, or just the people. But here is that it actually has, you know, some force upon one's existence, but it doesn't bother you. So, and you're not praising it or despising it. The other one is just you're ignoring it. Okay, but you might, you know, talk about it. Doesn't bother you in the situation, but you talk about it to your friends. You know, so you didn't get involved, but you still talk about it like that. Okay, those who are fixed in Krishna consciousness are not affected by dualities. There is always some upheaval in the material world which may be good or evil. One who is not agitated by such material upheavals, who is unaffected by good and evil, is to be understood to be fixed in Krishna consciousness. Yes.
If this is because of the practice of Krishna consciousness or because of the knowledge we gain in Krishna consciousness?
Means of being unaffected.
Yeah,
it would be both, because your practice is based on the knowledge, and by when you have knowledge, contemplate it and then apply it, then that contemplation will make your practice better, and by the practice it will make your understanding better.
So,
yeah, both go together. No, both go together. Yeah, that because that's the chit potency. It's knowledge and activity. Okay. As long as one is in the material world, there is always the possibility of good and evil, because this world is full of duality. So is it always possible? So if we want that perfect world, and then only then we can engage in devotional service. Because as I said, why just the cows? Of course, cows are very important. But what about Brahmins? Are they worried about that the Brahmins aren't being supported and all that? You know, somebody just did somebody's marriage the other day. How much did he get? You know? They give him 1,000 rupees, or they give him lunch and figure that's good enough. Like that. You know, the outside pundits, like you go to Bombay and you do some of these things, they'll get like 50,000 rupees. So are devotees giving that? That would be supporting the Brahmins. So that here's this, you know, poor Brahmin, you know, just going through eking out an existence here. So is that you're letting him do ritual for him, and he's being exploited by everybody else. No one else is taking care and recognizing position. Wouldn't that be improper that you have him do something for you? He's not a happy Brahmin.
YouTube video is the unhappy Brahmin.
Yeah. Does that make some sense? So it's we're only worried about the one, but what about continuing that? You know what I'm saying? So we continue those things, you know, like that. You know, it's like you have to protect brahmachari, so that means education. So are they being educated? Are we fighting for that? You know, old people, are we fighting that you know, that they're taken care of and comfortable? Right? You know what I'm saying? So someone only fights and they don't really care about the others. So to take such an extreme stand on the one and it not be balanced with everything else, then is over-exaggerated. Right, so the world is always going to have a problem. So you make the best you can. It means if you know, okay, this cow is nicely taken care of, this one's not, I'll get the milk from the one that's nicely taken care of.
Is it because it's based on economics that now we movement have a lot of old people, so let's protect the old people? And that's,
No. It's because the old people are old and they're in positions of authority, so they're saying let's protect the old people. Young people aren't worried about the old people any more than they were when those same old people were young. Because there were old people then and they didn't care. I'm telling you.
It doesn't.
In other words, unaffected means you continue your Krishna consciousness.
Either way.
Yeah, Because in other words, like let's say, everything's going nice, everybody likes you, so it's wonderful being in Mayapur and the spiritual world and everything like this, and then something goes wrong and or somebody doesn't notice you and this, and then you're all grumpy and then you don't, you know. That's what it means. No, you said it says, what if you're grumpy but still continue with your Krishna consciousness? Then that means your mother trained you well. That's. Because everything's going wrong. So. But one who is fixed in Krishna consciousness is not affected by good and evil, because he is simply concerned with Krishna, who is all good absolute. Right? So he's all good absolute. The problem is that the material world is a difficulty. So the reason we do something, he says, if we don't have any obligation, that means we don't have any obligation to any of these. So we don't have a material obligation to the cows. It's a matter of we're doing service to Krishna. So then that automatically means the benefit is there. So if we can't render material benefit, then at least we can give spiritual benefit. So it should be they go out and buy as much milk as possible and offer as much milk and distribute it. And since they can't, how much milk can you do? So they should cook it all into burfi, right? And then distribute it, because that way then they could buy thousands of liters a day and distribute it. Yeah, that would be a better thing, right? Yeah.
In Australia, we used to do a collection amongst the dairy farmers. Initially, we thought, okay, these are pious people. But then we realized they're just businessmen. Mm-hmm. So we found the best pick was when the baby calves had just been born and were being stacked up the front gate to be taken away to be slaughtered, because then the people had extra money. That was when we did the best collection.
Right.
So we would go there at that time.
Yeah.
So we were taking advantage of the...
Yeah. Now that's awesome. Always practical. Like that. Not mental.
No.
I don't know if there's any Australian vegans, you know. It's not a, there are some.
Yeah. We got a phone call from a vegan. Hmm? He said, can you tell me where I can get a supply of your vegan quality milk?
Oh, okay. So as long as there are some like that. But generally the devotees are always behind on that. So.
Yeah. He'll
only take dairy products from protected plants.
Yeah, the point is this. It means somebody who is looking for it and is taking, then that's fine. So they're being selective. That's nice. You know, if somebody eats organic or not, you know, that's the whole point. But to say that, you know, it's not organic, so we won't offer it, but that's all that's available, then the point is this: how do you serve Krishna?
Sadhana Mataji thinks he's not a real loss anymore anyway.
Oh, okay. Yeah, what you doing?
Right. This idea of heaven here, heaven on earth, or whatever,
yes.
Krishna consciousness.
Notice there was no mention of goodwill to man.
So, where it comes from, because devotees generally have this tendency that if we become Krishna conscious, then there should be no problems.
Yes, yes.
Where it coming from, and does Hindus or whatever, they're also affected by this?
Oh, everybody idea? Is. No, it means that the reason we turn to religion is because it will give economic development. So if you're very religious, then there'll be always constant, continual economic development.
Relief from distress.
Yeah, relief from distress, because if you do good work, you get a good result. So that's any religion will have that problem. That's why the point is always being made about ritual, because this applies to any religion. Does that make sense? That's why we say Krishna consciousness is the actual point. You know, so is that, you know, so if you define Hindu by one who follows the practices, follows the practices of the Veda, then we're Hindu by culture. But we're not Hindu by philosophy, we're Vaishnava. So the thing is that anybody looks like that. Even the common person thinks if I'm good, I'll be more prosperous than if I'm bad. Okay. Does that make sense? So that's just the natural fruitive element. Is that right?
Yeah, it's interesting. Whoever comes to Krishna consciousness, they all have this utopian idea.
Yeah, yeah. So that's why these things are given, is that means things will be better on one level, but it doesn't mean that the material world is going to get better, because it's still the material world. It still can only be so good, because it doesn't have anything for the soul. You know? Because even if you get all the facilities to be perfect, it's still, there's going to be anxiety. It's still going to be a problem. We only think that, no, if it's perfect, then I'll be happy. But nobody's ever come across that. That's Prahlad Maharaj's point, Shruti Sukhat. That we've heard about the happiness. No one's ever had it. That's why it says, you know, what was it? It's the one that you'll become. What was that one? Oh, yeah. When your intelligence is passed out of the dense forest of delusion, you shall become indifferent to all that has been heard and all that is to be heard. Because people will still tell you, no, you'll be happy here. Like that. But that's it. People have only heard about it. Who's gotten it? You know what I'm saying? Is that anything? You know, people will say, oh, this is... this person, you know, this was great, that was great, but if you look at the person's life, it wasn't necessarily, they had some money, or they had some position, or they had some influence, they had some, so we think that's great. But if you look at it, then it's not actually very great. So what we're actually being attracted to are Krishna's qualities. Does that make sense? The qualities that are manifest through the all pervading Brahman, that there's a form and an activity that is able to shine, allow that to shine. We're attracted to that, but otherwise, then it's not the form. You know, it's not that. It's Krishna's potency. So there's nothing actually attractive here. It's just Krishna's attractive. So even if materially everything's perfect, it still will be dissatisfied, because it's Krishna who's the attractive element. So we'll only be satisfied when we appreciate it's Krishna who's important. It's not that, oh yes, no, we have the perfect situation, the perfect things for the cows, and they're the perfect milk, and everything perfect, then it will be wonderful. No, it's still about Krishna. Why would, let's say, an organic, thing be better than something that's not? We'll say, oh, view the health like that, and or someone more subtle, no, but the consciousness and this, but is that the real point? The point is that God made the creation, it works in its natural form. So therefore organic is just the way God's has made the universe to run. So organic is better simply because that's the way God likes it to run. But that's not why we're saying it's better. Because it's following God's laws, because then that means the authority is someone other than us. No, it's because it's good for health. Like if you say, why is the seeker? If you say just Krishna likes them, it's no. I mean, why do we really have a seeker? You know what I'm saying? So it's always like that. When you get down to, yes, in the Arctic, this is the fire, and this is the earth, and this is the water, so all the five elements, and people go, oh, okay, now I understand what Arctic's for. No, it's there to please Krishna. Krishna just likes Arctic. Now, if there's other explanations, nice. You know what I'm saying? But it's always got to be down to the little... so therefore, in that, then what kind of water, we use? Yeah.
Maharaj, can that feeling of perfect or utopia world come from the soul, which is such a tremendous?
Yeah, means what they're talking about here, this stita dhir muni. For him, the world's perfect. because it's just all about Krishna. Everybody is all devotees of Krishna, just whether they realize it or not. So he's living in the perfect world. We're the ones that have the problem. Right? Because if you want the world itself to be perfect, it'll never be perfect. You know what I'm saying? You know, it'd be like, let us say, should a house have a bathroom in it?
No.
That means as a standard facility. Yeah. Is it good to have, you're living in a place, is it good that there's some toilet facilities?
It should be outside.
Okay, but whatever, okay. Like that. Yeah. But should there be a toilet included in your sphere of living facilities?
Yes, please.
Okay, now what if we take just the toilet and then we try to make that the total sphere of our activities and we want it to be perfect?
Then we've got a Chinese kitchen.
Yes. Yeah, maybe they are ahead, right? You know, they're thousands of years ahead of everybody else. Yeah, so you understand here? So that's what we're trying to do. We're trying to take a toilet, you know, and make it into perfection. You know, so it's a gold leaf toilet.
Yes. Conversation. So, Prabhupada, in talking to disciples, they're trying to make that point of perfecting this world. He said, why try to perfect something which is already imperfect in the beginning?
Yes. Yeah. Because it can be perfect. Its perfection is being able to become Krishna conscious. That's the perfection of the material world. So, if we're looking for perfection, that's it. But it's not to be found within the system. The system is designed to be imperfect as far as making one happy. It's designed that way. Maya only will give you a little bit of happiness so that you will continue to work. Because if everything was absolutely nothing, then everybody would be sitting around, be like one of those, you know, really melancholy, you know, how you say, film noir kind of things, you know, like that, and everything's dark, and everyone like this, you know, like that kind of a thing, no? But that, then she gives you some inspiration, just a little bit, and then you're working really hard, you know. Does that make sense? Yeah, that's how it works. You know how you say? Completely, guy's just about ready to give up, completely finished like that, hasn't been able to make things work for months and all that. Just as he's about to give up, she'll give him one smile. That'll keep him busy for another few months. So that's how it works. Because otherwise, can you imagine having a prison that's full of discontented prisoners? What a problem that is. But if everybody's satisfied being there, hey, it works really easy. So you want to keep everybody busy. Right? No? Yeah.
Om Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
Srila Prabhupada ki, Samaveta Bhaktivinoda ki, Jai Nitai Gaura Premanand.